we can join in the responsive reading. Psalm number 68 on pages 92, 792, and 793. Let God arise, let God's enemies be scattered. Let those who hate God flee. And so is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before fire, let the wicked perish before God. But let the righteous be joyful. Let them exalt before God. Let them be jubilant with joy. Sing to God, O praises to God's name. Lift up a song to the one who rides upon the clouds. Exalt before the one whose name is Lord. In the holy habitation, God is father of orphans and protector of widows. God gives the desolate a home to dwell in and leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, the earth quaked, the heavens poured down water, at the presence of God, the God of Sinai, at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your heritage as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O God, you provided for the needy. Sing to God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. O writer in the heavens, the ancient heavens, God's voice goes forth, a mighty voice. Ascribe power to God, whose majesty is over Israel, and whose power is in the skies. Wondrous is God in the sanctuary, the God of Israel, who gives power and strength to the people.
Our section of scripture reading today is from the book of Acts of the Apostles. It's found on page 110, chapter 1, verses 6 to 14. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from 1 Peter, chapter 4, verses 12 to 14, then chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. It can be found on page 221 in your Pew Bible's New Testament. Hear these words. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Disciple yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. You can find this in your pew Bible on page 105 of the New Testament. Bit of an explanation, a context, if you will. The passage that Melba read was actually the reading for the Ascension. That is when Christ finishes his ministry, he is already resurrected, he is back talking to those whom he manifest himself after the new resurrection body, and then he leaves. He goes into the clouds. And now we're jumping back to actually the time of the Last Supper. And this is a curious thing because it makes sense on Communion Sunday to do this reading. But actually, if you listen to the words of this part of John, he's speaking to God Almighty, his Father in heaven, and he is speaking as though he has already left. So there's sort of a juxtaposition of time here. Anyway, listen to the words of Jesus. They make more sense. After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you have given me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them in your name, so that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as I mentioned in the announcement section, today we will do several things. We will commemorate and celebrate Holy Communion, which, as you well know, is one of two sacraments that are recognized and practiced in the United Methodist Church. And also, though, we will celebrate a grand accomplishment and a milestone in the lives of several of our young people, and that is high school graduation. They're listed in your bulletin, but I want to say their names out loud because naming is an important part of the church. Yamani Amisi, Alex Burns, Thomas Clark, Dominique Leahy, Samantha Litaw, Audrey Morris Ryle, Pingi Tavaki Jr., and Ahi Tolutau. I wish that each of them could be here with us this morning to hear God's message and to bask in the glow of our pride and congratulations. But I know full well a few of them are working this Sunday, and two of them, the last two Tongan gentlemen, are with their community at Aurora First celebrating their graduations over with them. So in part, this is sort of a graduation sermon, and I'm glad that Alex and Audrey just came in so they can hear it as well. But now that that whole list of young folks has graduated, some of these folks will go on to attend colleges and universities. Some will move right out into the work world, and at least one of them, Pingi, for in particular, will leave home to join the Navy. You may know Pingi. He is the brother of Paya Kelemani, who is our office manager. So he's going to join the Navy. But clearly for all of them, this is a big accomplishment and a big next step into the world. In light of this important occasion in the lives of these beloved young people, I want you all to think about, or perhaps think forward, depending on your station in life, think to the time that you graduated from high school, or perhaps the time when you left home to strike out on your own. Do you remember how that felt? When we graduate from high school and leave home to embark on the next adventure of our lives, we do so with a mixture of excitement and fear, a heady dichotomy of anticipation and dread. Sure, all of us want to be independent and free from our families, but it's a scary big world out there full of new responsibilities and limitless possibilities. Do you remember how that felt? Or perhaps do you feel that right now? My guess is that this is a lot like it felt to those 11 disciples that we read about in this part of the book of Acts. Think about it. A little over 40 days before this reading, 40 days ago, life had been good, very good. These 12 men were following this wonderful teacher, Jesus of Nazareth, as he performed miracles and signs, and he helped people, he healed people, and he announced the need for repentance in anticipation of the coming of the kingdom of God. Jesus truly was their Messiah, the Messiah they had been waiting for centuries. But then their whole world came crashing down. During Passover, Jesus had been arrested right in front of their eyes by the Roman authorities, and he'd been found guilty by both the Romans and by the religious establishment. That next day, he was horribly and brutally crucified, and then he died an agonizing death right in front of the eyes of his mother Mary. The disciples had fled in fear for their very lives as well. But just as quickly, life had taken an unexpected twist in the positive direction. Jesus had told them about it before the fact, but they couldn't believe him. Sure enough, after lying dead in a tomb for 3 days, Jesus had miraculously come back to life. And then for those last 40 days, he'd been showing himself to those he loved and preparing them for life after he would leave. On that one special morning, the disciples had been talking about Jesus, and wondering whether the final prophecy from the Hebrew Bible would come true. So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?" He replied, "It's not for you to know the time or period that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Well, we now call that the ascension. But to these 11 men, it must have seemed like the ultimate crushing blow. Jesus had warned them, but they hadn't really listened. Right before their eyes, their teacher, their rabbi, their friend, their Lord, their Messiah was swallowed up by a cloud, and he would never again be seen in their lifetimes, nor in ours. And as they stood there with their mouths hanging open, the reality of the situation started to sink in. This was exactly what Jesus had been preparing them for, almost from the time that they first met him some 3 years ago. Jesus had promised them that the Holy Spirit would come upon them, giving them power and memory and wisdom. And now they had been deputized to take Jesus' message out to Jerusalem and then out to all of Judea and Samaria and finally to the very ends of the earth. They were commissioned by the Messiah to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. They were excited and fearful, full of anticipation and dread. So what did they do? They went back together to the upper room and the place where they were staying. Scripture tells us that they were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. It's also my guess that they had a meal together and they celebrated Holy Communion together, just as Jesus had instructed them to do, in order to honor Jesus and to bring back to mind his teachings. In short, these people went to church. And this, I believe in my heart, is the lesson that God has for each of us here today. Life moves on for each of us. After the celebration and the blessing, each of our graduates will move on to the next adventure of life. When you leave home, your life moves on. But God has a plan for each of us. God has a plan for you. Jesus has promised you that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, giving you power and memory and wisdom. You have been deputized to take Jesus' message out to Aurora and to Colorado and to anywhere and everywhere in the world that your life will take you. You have been commissioned by the Messiah to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. You come from a tradition of ministry and mission. We are, all of us, missionary people sent out into the world to make the love of Jesus Christ tangible and real. Jesus loves you. And because of that, you are to love all of God's children who are your spiritual brothers and sisters. My advice to you is to find an anchor in a church where you can be grounded in your faith in Jesus Christ. And for all of us, when we get discouraged, when you need to recharge your spiritual batteries, when you're missing home and those who love you the most, that's when you especially need to go to church to share fellowship and scripture and Holy Communion, just what like we will do here together this morning. Finally, if you graduated in the last few weeks, or if it was more like 30 or 40 or 50 years ago that you graduated, please listen to these words that Jesus is speaking today to you and for you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. And this is eternal life, that you may know, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in the name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. My sisters and brothers, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God's peace to you, my friend. Amen.